the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. I don't know how you walk out of the pulpit singing a song like that and then walk down and start signing for the deaf. It must be a great God we serve. You know, people last night all over the place wore themselves out for the devil. And then we put a cap on what we'll do for God. I'm glad we got some folks around here at Crossroads Baptist Church that'll wear themselves out for the Lord. Help us to do that more. God, help us. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let the church say amen. Father, help me as I preach your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Time and time again, you've used this book to change me. Somebody in the building's been looking for change in all the wrong places. I pray today they would let the Bible change them. God, do a work in this place. If anyone's not saved, help them to leave here saved. For those of us going to heaven, help us instead of flying coach to travel first class. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Troubled hearts. Troubled hearts. Anxious hearts. Fearful hearts. Wounded hearts. Heavy hearts. Hurting hearts. Scarred hearts, clueless hearts, represent troubled hearts. These were men that God had trained. These were men that God had changed. These were men that God had taught. These were men that God had led. These were men that God had loved. These were men that Jesus himself had lived before. They had watched him raise the dead. They'd watched him give the deaf hearing, give the dumb speaking, give the lame walking, give the blind seeing. They'd watched him take a little lunch for one boy and feed 5,000 people. They'd seen it. They'd watched it. They knew it. They'd experienced it. Yet they were troubled hearts. They'd never had a good a time fishing fish as they had watching Jesus catch men. When he spoke, the words came off of his lips like never any man had ever spoken. They thought John the Baptist was good, but when they heard Jesus, never had a man spoke like that. And when they were in his presence, they were baffled. They were astonished. They were amazed. He stood up after they had awakened him on a ship, and the raging storm was winding and blowing, and the ship was rocking, and the waves were rumbling. And he said, peace, be still. And they said, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? He was an amazing man, and they watched him. Now they were troubled hearts. He was leaving. All they knew that was good was bound up in him. And he was leaving. And their hearts were troubled. and he was going to help them with their troubled hearts. Not perhaps by the way they thought they would get help. How many of you know sometimes the way we want help is not the way we need help? And he opens this chapter after the chapter before saying, I'm going to leave and I'm gone, and when I'm gone, you're going to stay. And he'd eaten with them and he had supped with them and he had spent time with them, and now he announces he's soon departing from them. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. Well, Master, if our heart's not to be troubled, how in a world full of sin, and how with burdens bigger than we can bear, how with the road ahead so treacherous that we know not how we can travel, how can our hearts not be troubled? He says it. Ye believe in God, then believe also in me. Now, I won't tell you why I'm preaching on this morning. I'm far-fetched to find anybody. Now, you can find, the Bible says the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible didn't say the fool believes in his heart. The Bible said the fool said in his heart. I don't believe there's anybody that truly believes there's not a God, because it's written on our hearts. It's instinct inside of us. You don't have to sit in Bible college. You don't even have to sit in a service like this. Wake up in the morning. Something tells you somebody woke you up. Look at the sun. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. Look at the birds. Look at the fish in the sea. Look at the earth plastered with daffodils and mountains. Somebody put that stuff there. Even an uneducated, unreligious man knows there's a God. There's a lot of people in the world that believe in God that have troubled hearts. But Jesus said, you want your heart not to be troubled, you got to know, fellas, that about 33 and a half years, God the Son left heaven. Robed in flesh, that's what the incarnation means. Robed in flesh. Oh, I love John's gospel. I love Matthew, I love Mark, and I love Luke, but I love John because John unveils Jesus in a unique way, unlike any of the other gospels. If you don't believe me, look at the first verse in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. You know what the Word is? Logos. It means the completed thought. It means the express Word. It means the articulation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. John said, I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's the Word. He's the completed thought. He's the expression. He's the articulation of God. He said, it's not enough to look up in the sky and say, there's a supreme being who put the clouds in place, who put the moon in space, who put the sun in a position that it never falls down. That'll get you just a little a little place in life. But if you really want to not have a troubled heart, you got to believe that God left heaven and came down to earth to be tempted and tested, yet without sin, and he's going to hang and die on an old rugged cross for your sin, boys. You got to believe, I'm not just a good man. I'm not just a prophet. I'm not a contemporary of Muhammad. I'm God. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, I talk to a lot of Christians. They're saved by the grace of God. It's the only way you can get saved, by the grace of God. I need more than seven of you to say amen to that. See, you're not born a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You can hear a good song and tap your feet. You hear the gospel, you can get saved. Somebody help me preach. You pass from death unto life. You don't get saved by getting washed into water. You get saved by getting washed into blood. And you don't get partial life. You get eternal life. And you'll never perish. And neither shall any man pluck you out of God's hand. Amen. I'm glad the devil can't have me back. Sin can't have me back. The flesh can't have me back. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. But I'm born again. I'm saved. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. But I'm not dead yet. I got to go out there in that crazy world. I got children to raise. I got a wife to love. I got a church to pass loves people to lead to the Lord. Come on now. And there's a world out there that doesn't embrace what we're teaching. They don't even understand. Sometimes I say things about the Bible to people that aren't saved, and they look at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. I don't look down upon them. Were it not for the grace of God, that would be me, that would be you. And you don't have to look back far to remember when you didn't understand what God was doing in your life. You didn't understand what you were reading in the Bible, but you got saved and the Holy Ghost came to live inside of you, and he began to open your eyes and illuminate your eyes to the truths of the Word of God. How do I face a wicked world, an ungodly flesh, a lying devil without a troubled heart? Because how many of you know pressures come and problems come and difficulty comes and death comes? Listen to me. I was here at the service and I saw hurting hearts and I saw broken and wounded and weary hearts, and I saw people that were getting up and they were trying their best to muster up enough strength while somebody they loved, they cared about, they were related to, passed away. But in the middle of all those that got up, there was a lady that got up by the name of Nan Tober, and she spoke with poise and she spoke with confidence. Her brother was dead. She was hurting. She was in despair, but her heart wasn't troubled, because sometime down the road back then, she met somebody who saved her soul and changed her life and made a difference. And yes, she was hurting, and yes, she was sorrowful, but there was some jump in her step. There was some skip in her speech. Why? She didn't just believe in God. She believed in Jesus Christ. John is unveiling to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can't separate God and Jesus. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I know you're saying, Pastor, what in the world has got to do with troubled hearts? Because I'm going to tell you something. The answer to every troubled heart is Jesus. Amen. See, if you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you, you don't need religion. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need Jesus. You got to believe that Jesus was more than just a good man, more than just a great storyteller, more than just a great miracle worker, more than just somebody that baffled and wowed the crowd. You got to believe that he was God manifested in the flesh. You got to believe that he not only would not sin, but he could not sin, because he's not tempted to sin. He's not drawn away of his own lust. You've got to believe that the reason why we celebrate Easter Sunday is not because the sales are in the stores and the candy is in the supermarket. No, we celebrate Easter Sunday because we know that no other man could have got up out that grave unless he was the God man. He was robed in flesh, born of a virgin, never sinned, never had a sin nature. And you got to believe that that same God will bear your burden, will share your load, will help you raise your family, will help you live for God, will help you stay pure until you get married. If your heart is troubled this morning, believe in Jesus. Believe also in me. Let me give you three quick thoughts out of this passage of scripture. By the way, belief is only that which moves you to action. You say, Pastor, this is pretty elementary. Believe in Jesus. No, 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 no. My friend, if you doubt him, you're not believing. Amen. These things, 1 John 5:13, have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are those that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Those that are saved. And John says, I wrote this, 1 John 5. And by the way, what things? 2 verses later. He that hath the Son hath life. 2 verses earlier. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And this is the record. Amen. Every time the devil tells you going to heaven, tell him, no, 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 I know the record. This is the record. Amen. I mean, when them alarms go off and you go walking out the store and one of those security guards come running up to you telling you, excuse me, ma'am, sir, you got something in that bag that you didn't pay for. You pull out that receipt and say, look here, Joker, that machine ain't working right. I paid this and here's the receipt to prove it. Sometimes I fail and I falter and the devil tries to tell me, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. I say, look here, Joker, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life and this life is in his Son. Now look at verse 13. Again, these things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You're saved because you believe. Amen. That ye may what? No. How many of you know you have eternal life? Amen. Well, wait a minute. You're already saved. You know you have eternal life. Well, then he makes the next statement. And that ye may believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you must believe on him to be saved. But you must continually believe in him to not have a troubled heart. Yeah. You can't lose your salvation, but you can be a saved person with a troubled heart. Amen. And some of you going through some things today. Say, Pastor, I'm going to heaven. That's not my problem. My problem is what's going on here on earth. school shootings and immorality on every hand. I mean, don't you just wish you could put your teenagers in a little bottle and feed them with a straw until they're adolescents so they don't have to deal with this world out here with smartphones and pornography and hip-hop music and the celebrities that are broadcasting nudity instead of the Christians standing up for what's right and prayer out of schools and the Bible being mandated, being launched out of the way while other books are being set in front of them. I wish we didn't have to face it, but I'm learning in my life, no matter what the devil does, I've got a Savior who's big enough, who's great enough, who's strong enough, and if I believe in God, I can make it. But I got to believe in Jesus too. I want you to notice, first of all, these disciples' experiencing condition. What were they going through at the time? Number one, crippling fear. Let not your heart be troubled. Why were they troubled? Fear. They had an alone situation. They had an away sentiment. He was leaving. Verse 36, Lord, whither thou goest? Verse 36, whither I go, thou cannot follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You ever feel like God's gone? I said, do you ever feel like God's gone? Do you ever feel like you're all alone? Somebody here came to church, but you feel alone today. You feel away today. They had crippling fear. They had concerning failure. They were just ignorant and unlearned men. They were worried about how can we make it? How can we know the way? How can we do right? That's the experiencing condition. And by the way, if we're all honest today, we're all afraid of failing. Yeah. Crippling fear, concerning failure, confusing future. The possible happenings, the prospective headings. You're leaving. I know that God is real. How are we going to go and face those people that killed Jesus? How are we going to win our family when they think we're in a cult? How do we stand for God when everybody's falling? I wish I pastored a bunch of people who had no fear. I wish I pastored a bunch of people who weren't concerned about their future. I wish I pastored people who had no doubt about failure. But the fact of the matter is, the best of us is worried that we might mess up. If you're having your first child, the prospect of raising a child that lives for God. I was 40,000 feet in the air yesterday and just thinking about being a father and sitting on the airplane and looking out and thinking, oh God, I've never known anything more heavy on my heart than the fact that I've got children to raise up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Boys that need to know how to be men, young men that are my sons that need to know how to make it to ministry without embarrassing Almighty God. I need more than Dr. Phil and Oprah. I need more than psychology and psychiatry. I'm glad that the Jesus that conquered death, the Jesus that rose again, will help me raise my boys right. Raise my daughters right. If I believe. Maybe you're experiencing some trial today. You have no idea how it's going to turn out. You're going through a family crisis. Somebody you love, whose blood you share, you're at odds with. The child you're raising right is going wrong. The people you're trying to win to the Lord don't want to hear you. And you're afraid. Don't ever let anybody tell you that they have no fear. They try to put out a clothing line said no fear. That's to help propagate the denial. Fear's in all of us. But it doesn't come from God. Amen. I'm telling you the answer to your fear is Jesus. Fear of raising your kids, fear of failing, feeling about what the future says. Some of you here today, you don't know how you're going to find a spouse. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills in a couple of days. Some of you here today, you don't know how you're going to get through that wrong or that bad diagnosis by that doctor. I'm telling you what, you can take all the vitamins you want, you can work out all you want, and I'm not against being healthy and keeping your body in good shape, but I'm telling you that'll only take you so far. There's somebody who knows what he's doing. His name is Jesus. You got to believe. Experiencing condition. Notice secondly, the extended comfort. Lord, help us. Help us with staying here, Lord. Well, here's how I'll help you. Let me tell you where I'm going. I go to a place. And let me tell you what I call this place. I call this place my Father's house. Oh, Pastor, I got a troubled heart. Pastor, I had a rough week. Pastor, I'm sitting in church today, but what I'm headed back to tomorrow or even as early as this afternoon has got my heart troubled. That's where I am today, Pastor, and I'm admitting I've got a troubled heart. Listen to Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, let me tell you about somewhere where there is no sin, where there is no dying, where there are no cares. Let me tell you about a place where there is no sickness. There is no need for any electricians, Brother Ricky. I'll tell you why. Jesus lights up the whole place. The next time you got a troubled heart, think about heaven. There's a special place. It's apart from this world. It's apart from wickedness. It's not only apart, it's above. It's a heavenly place. It's a happy place. I don't care what anybody tell you, there's a heaven. I said, I don't care what anybody tells you. There's a heaven. I wasn't there yesterday, but I tell you, I felt closer to it when I was up in them clouds. And I thought about the day, one day the trumpet's going to sound. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain, we'll be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Every once in a while, I take and read the book of Revelation. John said, I saw a city four square, 1,500 feet high, miles high, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. By the way, that's a square city. And by the way, Ephesians says our conversation is in heaven. You know what that tells me? If I'm going to live forever in a square city, then being a Christian sometimes means you're going to have to be square. They ain't going to understand you. But this is not our home. This is not our home. You say, I got a troubled heart. Pastor, what do I do? I'm troubled about my finances. I'm troubled about my health. I'm troubled about my children. I'm troubled about my marriage. Here's what you do. Start thinking about the day when trouble won't last anymore. Start thinking about the day you're going to walk on the streets of gold. You're going to swing on the gates of pearls. He said, I want to tell you about a special place. I want to tell you about the supernatural preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God for them beautiful homes that you and your company build, Brother Winslow. But wait till you see that one Jesus builds. Oh, wait till you see that one Jesus builds. You say, Pastor, I got a troubled heart. Here's what I want you to know. While we're sitting here in church today, Jesus is building your mansion for you. You say, Pastor, I know it. You ain't thinking about it when your heart's troubled. Supernatural preparation. I go to prepare a place for you, a personal home. My personal home gives me a purposeful here. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Watch it now. Because that's home there, I don't live like this is home here.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody help me preach.
Yeah.
I'm saying don't get too strapped to this world.
Amen.
Don't get too caught up with the world. Listen to me, boys. Don't you let the world teach you how to dress. Your eternity is in heaven. Pull your pants up. Look like a man. You've been saved by the grace of God. Don't you raise your kids according to the worldly standard. Don't you let political correctness tell you how you ought to talk and how you ought to walk. Don't you let the politicians and the legislations set the highest standard for you. We march to a different beat. We're citizens of heaven. We're children of the Most High God. When you get up every day, act like you're going to heaven one day. Live holy. Live godly. Let your home there have you live right here. Special place, supernatural preparation. And there's a sure promise. If I go, I'm coming again. Come on now. I said if he went, he's coming back. Amen. I'd like to have been in that crowd of disciples. Listen to me in John chapter 13. I'm leaving. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. By the time we get to John 21, he's getting ready to go. Acts chapter 1, he ascends into heaven. And after he goes into heaven, the angel said, oh, ye that stand here gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus which goeth into heaven shall in like manner come again as ye have seen him go away. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 because Paul challenged the people in in Thessalonica, that we sorrow not as those that have no hope. Listen to me. We go to funerals. We go to homegoing services. But we ought not weep and cry and sorrow and mourn and groan like people that have no hope. We're not Hindus. We're not looking for a cow that used to be our grandma. We're not Catholics. We're not weighing the way out our good and bad and hope we make it. We're not looking forward to purgatory. We're not praying to Mecca or Allah. Let me tell you something. We understand from the word of God that one day, I said one day, and it could be the day he sent angels when it came time to tell him things. He sent angels when it came time to destroy people. He sent angels to tell Mary and Joseph about Jesus being in her womb. But when the trumpet sounds, he's not sending an angel. That same Jesus that died, that was buried, that rose again, he's coming again. There's an individual return. Pastor, my heart's troubled. Look up for him. I said, look up for him. Stop looking at your problems. Stop looking at your spouse. Stop looking at your kids. Stop looking at your budget. Start looking up. I said, he's coming again. You say, Pastor, what does that do? That gives you the strength to grind. That gives you the passion to keep on going. That gives you the faith to believe when you can't see it. That gives you the hope to know that he's real. That gives you the willingness to let him conform you to the image of his son. He's coming again. That's not a story. That's not a Steven Spielberg film. That's not a Disney movie. Mark it down. He is coming again. Wow. There's a special place. There's a supernatural preparation. There's a sure promise. Well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? By the way, Thomas, what do you mean? How can we know the way to the Father? Amen. Isn't that what the world's looking at? See, if man wasn't looking for a way to get to God, you wouldn't have all these religions. Don't ever let your immature mind think that religion is a new thing. The most basic, simplest definition of religion is man trying to work his way to God. That didn't start with the Reformation. That didn't start with the Roman Catholic Church. That didn't start with Elijah Muhammad or Malcolm X. That started when Adam and Eve tried to sow fig leaves. Come on. That started when they tried to put bricks together and work all the way up to heaven. And God confounded their language. Not because he was laughing at how silly they looked, but he wanted them to know you can build as high as you go, but nothing you build in your own power will get you to heaven. Listen to me. There's no way a sinful man can approach a holy God. The only way we can be saved is through a mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I thank the Lord that when there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a man good enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I want you to think about this verse and I'll close, because we quote it all the time. I want to break it down. Lord, we know that where thou goest, how can we know the way? First of all, I love the first two words of his statement. I am. That ain't old either. I mean, that ain't new either. Well, what did Jesus mean when he said, I am? Same thing he meant when God said it to Moses. Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And what shall I tell them? And whom shall I tell them that sent me? Here, Moses, you don't need no fancy sermon to Pharaoh. Amen. Listen to me. There are too many Christians that are out there in the world have all of these deep theological debates trying to get people saved. Listen to me. If you're 2 hours into the conversation and you're talking about who are the 144,000 and does it mean mansion or does it mean rooms or is the tribulation period talking about literal scorpions or figurative scorpions, you spending all this time having these intellectual debates about the elect and predestination and sovereignty, and I'm telling you all of those things are biblical. Let me tell you something. You're way off the beating path. It doesn't take a long time to show somebody how to get to heaven. Don't spend all that time telling telling them about all these religious theological debates. The simple thing to go to heaven is to realize that Jesus said, I am. And by the way, when they came up approaching him, and you remember they came arresting him after he had prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, those soldiers, them big, strong, strapping soldiers, the best that Rome had, came to arrest this carpenter's son. They thought we won't have any problem laying hands on this man. And all of a sudden they said, who do you say you are? Or who claims to be the Son of God? Jesus said, I am. They fell back like dead men. You may be messing with anybody, but you better not mess with the I am. He said, I am the way. I'm the bridge to salvation experience. Hey, you want to get to salvation? You better go through the way. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the body of all substantial evidence. Jesus not only is a true God, Jesus is the truth. There's no truth outside of him. Amen. I say amen. I say he's the way. He's the bridge, the salvation experience. But my friend, he's the truth. He's the body of substantial evidence. I can imagine Pilate standing there in the presence of the Son of God asking the question, what is truth? Jesus, being the meek man that he was, answered not a word. But if I'd have been there, I'd have said, you dummy. You're looking at him. He's truth. I'm the life. I'm the breath of spiritual existence. Amen. You don't live till you have Jesus. Some of you in this building, listen to me. You breathe and your heart's pumping blood, but you're not living. You've tried to find hope in all the wrong places. You've tried to find satisfaction in all the wrong activities. You've tried to find fun in the pleasures of sin that only last for a season. Can I tell you, Jesus came to give you life. The thief came to kill, destroy, and to wipe you out. But I'm telling you, he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm way, the bridge of salvation experience. I'm truth, the body of substantial evidence. I'm life. I'm the breath of spiritual existence. But I don't want you to miss this. That small word in there. I am the way. Somebody help me preach. I'd like you to put your seats back in their upward position and put your tray tables away. The flight attendants will be passing through the aisles to collect all of your refreshments and goods. We're cleared for landing. I'm about to land this message, but not without talking about the word T-H-E. Because if you take the out of there, then you've got him contending and competing with other religions. You got him fighting with Muhammad for first place and fiddling with Joseph Smith for first place and fiddling with baptism and tongue talking for first place. But don't you take out that definite article. Don't you take out that little word that some versions of the Bible don't make much of. He didn't say I'm a way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. He said I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. The way is the bridge to salvation experience. The truth is the body of all substantial evidence. The life is the breath of spiritual existence. But the means I am the bottom line for secure exclusiveness. I'm not a way. I'm the only way. God's got a way that you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under. God's got a way that you can't go around. He said you must come in at the door. He's the door of the living, the pathway of peace, the gateway of glory, the highway of holiness, the master of the mighty, the head of the heroes, the leader of legislators, the overseer of overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the king of kings, and the lord of lords. You trying to get to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. Wait a minute tonight. Wait a minute today. If you're saved and you want the way to a godly life, he's the way. You want the truth about marriage? He's the truth. And you want to get some vitality back into your lethargic Christianity? He's the life. Amen. And when you receive him and believe him as way, truth, and life, don't forget to put that little word before each of them. The way, the truth, and the life. I need a better job. I need a better diagnosis. I need more appreciation for my spouse. I need that thing on my prayer list I'm praying for. I need my candidate to win. I need legislation to link with my perspective. I need my children to end up this way. I need this new car. I need to win the sweepstakes. I didn't want to say the lottery because I didn't want to put you on the spot. But the Holy Ghost knows if that's what you're praying for. God forgive me for playing, but hear me while I'm praying. I told you about that time I ran into a used to be church member at 7-Eleven. And hey, Pastor Kenny, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. We in 7-Eleven. Good, praise the Lord. I didn't see you in a while. Checking up on the family. Everybody. Da, da, da. And I got my coffee and went back up to the front counter to pay. And the guy at 7-Eleven said, "Where'd your friend go?" He just left. I said, "I don't know. I was fixing coffee. He was gone." The 7-Eleven guy said, "He forgot his lottery ticket." He saw the preacher man say, "Y'all can have that $2. I'll come back later when he's not here." See, if you're up at 7-Eleven and keep trying to get a lottery ticket, you're trying to solve your troubled heart. Jesus said, "You only hit the lottery." He said, "You need to believe in me." Amen. Folks, it's always a faith problem and a love problem. Now, somebody in here came to church with a troubled heart. You're saved and going to heaven, but you've put your trust in things and not in Him. That's why your heart's troubled. And if you got the things you wanted, your heart would still be troubled.
That's right.
Because things never bring satisfaction. Could I tell you, if He was good enough and if He was God enough to get your wretched soul out of hell, then don't you think He's good enough to keep your saved self right on the way to heaven?
Amen.
And if you're here today, lost, in church, religious, moral, decent, sincere and well-intentioned, but you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Could I introduce you? He says, "My name is Way." Amen. I'm the bridge to salvation experience. My name is Truth. If it's real, I'm it. I'm the body of substantial evidence. And I'm life. You won't live till you meet me. I'm the breath of spiritual existence. But I don't care what they tell you down the road, around the corner, on the internet, or on television. I'm not one of them. I'm not a good choice. I'm it. I'm the way. And if you want your troubled heart to be right, as simple and elementary as it sounds, it works. He says, "Believe also in me." Our Father, I pray you help us. Some Christian folk in the building right now have started to doubt you about some things. They're going through tough times. They want you to move some things, and maybe you're not going to move them, but they have you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. "Pastor, you say I know I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand?" "I know that I know that I know that I'm saved." Raise your hand. Would you? God bless you. God bless you. Let me put your hands down. "Pastor, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a troubled heart this morning. There's some things I'm going through in my life. My heart's troubled. Pray for me." If that's you, would you raise your hand? All over the building. Listen to me. The answer is Jesus. You've got to believe in Him. Believe on Him to be saved. Believe in Him to live right. Last question. Please listen. How many say, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I do not want to go to hell." Listen to the question. Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I am 100% for sure I do not want to go to hell. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call your name out. All I want to do is pray for you. Pastor, that's me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be honest. Be honest. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I am sure I do not want to go to hell. Just raise, thank you, young man. I see your hand. God bless you. Someone else, be honest. Just raise up, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. We're not going to embarrass you. I see your hand. God bless you. You may put it down. Someone else, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Just raise it up long enough for me to, God already knows. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Anybody else? Well, join these two honest ones. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I tell you, I do not want to go to hell. Pray for me. Put your hand up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's stand together. Father, I pray, God, that you'll bless this invitation like only you can, in Jesus' name.